Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And welcome to the Billboard Chartbeat Podcast. Gary Trust, Billboard's co-director of charts.
And hey guys, it's Trevor Anderson, a chart manager here at Billboard.
And this is where we look at why what's on the charts is on the charts. You, the listener, really the main guest, the main star of our 100th episode. So we've been talking about this new hotline we created for the podcast, 212-493-4021. 4021 for you to leave chart questions that we'll answer, chart comments, and we're gonna play back a couple of them this week. We've gotten some good stuff from you guys, a couple deep questions, so we're making you a part of the podcast. We'll do this more going forward if you guys want to be a part of it. If nothing else, we'll do it this week and see how it goes. But that's coming up here on the podcast. We'll recap this week's top 10, some action in the top 10, a debut in the top 10, a brand new top 10 for Camila Cabello, and again, you, the star of this week's 100th Billboard Chartbeat Podcast. So let's get into the top 10 this week on the Billboard Hot 100.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Number 10.
Number 9.
Niggas came up on this side, now they on the other side. Oh well, fuck them, dawg. We gon' see how hard they ride. I get racks to go outside.
Been fucking hoes and popping pillies, man. I feel just like a rock star.
Number 8.
All my brothers got that gas and they always be smoking like a rock star. Fucking with me, call up. Probably think that you are better now.
Number 7.
Now. You only say that cause I'm not around.
Number 5.
I'm losing my mind just a little. So why don't you just make me?
It's meant to be, it'll be, baby, if it's meant to be.
Number 4.
So come on, ride with me, ride with me. See where this thing goes. So come on.
God's plan, God's plan.
Number 3.
I hold back, sometimes I won't, yeah. I feel good, sometimes I don't, hey.
So no surprise, but if you are not a fan of Drake, you have probably stopped listening to this podcast which is, I guess, probably a good idea. It's a bad idea. Yeah, it's a bad idea. But it's actually, I guess, a good idea maybe this week for this part, because there he is once again, number one, 4 weeks in a row for the song Nice For What. And as our friend across the table, Gary, found out, if you add up all of Drake's career weeks at number one, that includes two Rihanna songs where he was a featured act, now three songs of his own in a lead, One Dance, God's Plan, Now Nice For What. Altogether, you'd arrive at 35 weeks at number one in his career on the Hot 100. Last week, Drake tied Elton John with 34 weeks at number one, which is the third most among solo male artists in Hot 100 history. Obviously, now 35 is bigger than 34, so Drake passes Elton John for third place among solo males in Hot 100 history, most career weeks at number one. He's only two behind Michael Jackson. So, I guess, Jacko fans, thrillerers, what are the baddies? What do they call them?
He was before fan armies really had a name. He's the king of pop.
Subjects of the king of pop. Yeah. You know, he's getting close to Michael. And, 10 above Michael Jackson is the leader, Usher, with 47 career weeks at number one, the most of any solo male. So Drake closing in on some pretty big territory. Obviously, with 15 weeks this year alone, he's nearly doubled his previous career week total just this year.
And a new album coming out in June, so it sounds like it's a little bit away from Usher, 47 weeks, but kind of feels like it's within reach.
Also, another sort of Usher stat to keep an eye out on. Drake now, as we've just said, 15 weeks in a row at number one among solo male artists. Usher has held the number one spot the longest without a break. That was 19 weeks back in 2004 when he had 12 weeks on top with Yeah, and then 7 weeks in a row with Burn before Fantasia knocked the song out for 1 week. So if Drake can hold on for four more weeks, he will tie Usher for the longest consecutive week stretch at number one by any solo male.
And going back almost a decade at this point for the overall record, it's not the Beatles. It was a group that really had they had a pretty good run.
Well, the Entity lives on. It's who's in the Entity that changes, you know.
But yeah, the summer of 2009 belonged to Black Eyed Peas. They were number one for 26 straight weeks. That's 6 months with these two songs.
Gotta get that. Gotta get that. Gotta get that. Gotta get that. 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 Gotta get that, boom, 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 that boom, 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 that boom, 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 boom. Yo, I got that hit to beat the block, you can get that bass on below. I got that rock and roll, that future flow. I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night.
So, Boom Boom Pow, and I Got a Feeling, 2009, 26 straight weeks at number one for Black Eyed Peas. So, we'll see if Drake can just keep owning 2018 the way he's been doing it so far. All right, so actually, sort of a close race this week at number one, which really hasn't been the case in recent weeks, but Post Malone moves up from number five back to his number two peak with Psycho. Yeah, fairly close as the album debuts at number one on the Billboard 200 streaming record.
What's the album called?
You're going to make me sound my natural element saying Beer Bongs and Bentleys.
Beer Bongs and Bentleys. That is Gary's lifestyle, like just in a nutshell. He drives a Bentley, and he loves his beer bongs. I work with him. Trust me, I know.
Post Malone comes close this week. Also, debuts in the top 10. And you heard number 7 with Better Now. Back into the top 10, up for number 32, his former number 1 rock star. So three songs in the top 10 for the first time ever for Post Malone. He's the 18th act ever to do that. He's not the only act to do it. Drake has three, again, in the top 10 this week. He just had three in the top 5 recently. So, three Drake songs. Three Post Malone songs kind of tells you where music is right now with the singing / rapping. They're kind of the two poster boys for that.
All right, but Post Malone is not the only artist lighting up the top 10 this week. Camille Isers have been patiently waiting, wondering wishing that she could follow up Havana with another top 10 smash. And this week, we can confirm that she has. The song Never Be the Same makes a nice jump from number 13 last week up to number 6 this week. So firmly entrenched in the top 10, becoming the second top 10 from her Camila album after Havana, and the third top 10 of her entire solo run. If you guys remember, the song Bad Things with Machine Gun Kelly was a number 4 hit in the early part of last year. So Camila on a nice rise as well. Particularly this week, of course, the song helped out by the new remix that came out with Kane Brown, helping it become the best-selling song of the week. So giving it some momentum to get up there. Obviously been a huge airplay smash. The song hits number 1 on the mainstream top 40 chart, so the most played song on pop radio this week. So Camila, you know, single 1, number 1 hit. Now we've got another top 10. This is turning into a big breakout year for her.
Camila, she was back on the podcast in right after Havana. A previous single went to number 1 in January. Remember you asked her, Trevor, what her favorite song on Camila was? She said, Never Be the Same.
Oh, can I know one more thing? I know. Also, of course, you have the new number 1. You also have a new top 40 this week. Never Be the Same.
Oh, my God. Hit, what?
Yeah, it's in the top 40. Wait, what number, Gary?
Yeah, it goes from number 65 to number 30.
Oh, my God. That's incredible. Oh, my God. I almost just dropped the phone because I didn't know that. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Yeah, Never Be the Same is probably, I'm going to say it's probably my favorite song on the album right now, and I can't wait for the people to there to be the music video and for people to see it, and it's one of the most special songs I think on the album, so I'm so happy that people are, that's amazing, that's really really cool. It's a big jump. That's awesome.
Camila on the podcast earlier this year. And by the way, if you're a big Camila fan, we're going to be talking a lot more Havana next week on the podcast. We're going to have Hit Songs Deconstructed here, breaking down exactly why Havana became such a huge hit. So it's coming up next week. But yeah, there's the top 10 for this week. Drake, Post Malone, Camila, kind of highlighting the moves this week in the top 10. So let's go beyond that. Let's finally break this out. We've been promoting this this hotline for a few weeks now. Proof that we've actually had people call in is now here. So you guys have called in with some great chart questions that we're going to answer. So kind of like the Ask Billboard mailbag that we do on billboard.com. This is the podcast version of it. So let's go to the voicemail. 212-493-40-1. Start off with this question.
Hey, Gary and Trevor. This is Jesse Rifkin. I'm from Washington, D.C. I'm a big fan of the Billboard Chart Beat podcast and also Gary's Ask Billboard feature, which I'm a big fan of and I've been featured in several times with my questions. Here's a question I submitted recently. Maybe you could answer it in podcast form. Who are the music acts with the most Billboard Hot 100 entries of all time without ever notching a top 10? I was Googling it, trying to find the answer. Couldn't quite find it. So hopefully you guys will be able to help me out. Thanks, Gary and Trevor. Keep up the great work on the podcast. Hope to hear back from you soon.
All right, there it is, Trevor. Our first listener question on the hotline from Jesse. Yeah, loyal reader of Ask Billboard and a lot of the chart columns. Goes down in Billboard history as the first caller ever on the 212-493-40-1 hotline with a great question. So acts with the most Hot 100 entries without a top 10. You'd think if you're on the Hot 100 so much, at some point you would have hit the top 10. But there are some acts who've had a lot of Hot 100 hits, but very few Hot 100 top 10s. So we'll see where we get to here on the research of what's the most hits anyone's had without ever hitting the top 10. So let's just start at the very top. Stat that always probably surprises some people if you didn't realize how many hits the Glee cast was having in 2009 to actually 2013, is when they had their last 207 hits. So 207 Hot 100 hits for Glee. Three of them hit the top 10. So it's actually 1% about of everything that they ever had on the Hot 100. It's their covers of Don't Stop Believin' and Teenage Dream, and then the original song, Loser Like Me. So the other 204 songs didn't get to the top 10. So Glee, not the answer, because they've hit the top 10. If you go to the act with the second most Hot 100 hits, Drake, 162. He's had 25 top 10s. Lil Wayne is third with 137 Hot 100 hits. He has 20 top 10s. So if we keep going, even a couple more people. Elvis, 108 hits, 25 top 10s. And Jay-Z is fifth with 97 Hot 100 hits, and he has 21 top tens. So if you take out Glee, kind of seems like the average is about 20 top tens for acts who have between 97 and 162 hits. So the pattern we're seeing at the top is that if you hit the Hot 100 a lot, over 100 times, you're going to be in the top 10, again, other than Glee, about 20 times or so. So, yeah, fairly common for all these acts to have lots of top 10s. If we go to the next person, 91 Hot 100 hits, James Brown is in sixth place overall. He only had seven top 10s, which is still a good career amount. But when you consider he had 84 songs on the Hot 100 that missed the top 10 and seven that got to the top 10, it shows that it was sort of a special occasion when he got to the top 10. So we could keep going. Kanye West just got his 82nd Hot 100 hit. Now, this week, he has 15 top 10s. Kind of interesting, this one. You get down to Future with 68 Hot 100 hits. He's only had two top 10s. But again, keeps him on the list of people who've had top 10s. You get down to 57 Hot 100 hits. Tim McGraw, he's had three top 10s. That's kind of the clue of who the first artist is with the most Hot 100 hits and no top 10s. 53 Hot 100 hits for this artist.
To get along, along down the road, we got a long, long way to go. Scared to live, scared to die. We ain't perfect, but we...
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Try, get along while we can. Always give love the upper hand. Paint a wall, learn to dance. Call your mom, buy a boat. Drink a beer, sing a song. Make a friend, can't we all?
Kenny Chesney, no Hot 100 top 10s. What's the answer, Jesse? So Kenny Chesney, the act with the most Hot 100 hits without a top 10, 53, including his latest, Get Along. So it sounds kind of like a bad thing, Trevor, but I should point out his success on the country charts. And as we go a little deeper for other acts who are in this category, it'll be kind of come clear. So Kenny Chesney has 50 top 10s on the Hot Country Songs chart. So none on the Hot 100, but 50 on the country chart, including 23 number ones. So he's as big as a country superstar gets, but just hasn't had a top 10 yet on the Hot 100. Got to number 16. If we go deeper, who are the next artists with the most Hot 100 hits, but without a top 10? Next up with 40 is Keith Urban. After that, two people are tied with 39 each, Toby Keith and Brad Paisley. And then in fifth place, George Strait with 37. So that's five solo male country artists with a whole bunch of Hot 100 hits, but no top 10s. And similar to Kenny Chesney, just a huge success at country. Keith Urban, 38 top 10s, 18 number ones. Toby Keith, 20 number ones in country. Brad Paisley with 18. And George Strait with a record 44 Hot Country Songs number ones. So what's the reason, Trevor, that all these acts can get on the Hot 100 all the time, but just haven't gotten to the top 10?
All right, so something that we've probably touched on a little bit, and so if you've watched the Hot 100, particularly in the past few months or years, you'll see there's sort of this area of songs that we call sort of, I like to call it country graveyard, because country songs get so high on the Hot 100, mostly driven by radio and airplay, but the sales maybe aren't as consistent for singles as they are for albums. Certainly country in the past couple of years has really had trouble adapting to streaming. So that's generally why you'll see a lot of these songs reach the Hot 100 and they can get up into the 30s, 40s, maybe even the 20s. But that top 10, you know, is pretty hard without some consistent sales, and now in particular some huge streaming behind it. But the radio is still there for sure.
So, yeah, huge country success. And Tim McGraw, sort of similar type artist, but he just happened to have a couple sales hits early on. Faith Hill duet was one of them back in the 90s when sales were really huge. So, yeah, five country guys heading up that list. I got curious who would be next after that, who isn't in that vein of just having had multiple country hits in the 90s and 2000s and 2010s. Got to go back to an artist that was pretty big in the 60s. 36 Hot 100 hits. No top tens. Bobby Blue Bland, the first artist on the list who isn't in that country group. 36 Hot 100 hits, no top tens. Got as high as number 20 with this song in 1964.
When you got a headache out of sugar pain. When you tried to rest, Lord, you feel all right. When you got a backache, a little rubbing will see you through. But when you got a heartache, there ain't nothing you can do.
A little piece of Ain't Nothing You Can Do by Bobby Blue Bland. Kind of interesting. It peaked number 20 on April 11th, 1964. And if that date sounds pretty familiar, it's a week after the Beatles had the entire top five. Beatles were all over the upper reaches of the chart again on April 11th. So kind of blame the Beatles, I guess, for that artist. Maybe that was his best shot to get to the top 10. Also interesting, kind of an offshoot of this question, as I wound up doing the research, I got curious to see what artists had the highest percentage of hitting the top 10 with Hot 100 appearances, or the opposite, not hitting the top 10. So, if we keep this to artists with at least 50 Hot 100 hits, we mentioned the Glee cast, three top 10s out of 207 total Hot 100 appearances. That puts them at 1% of all visits becoming top 10s. That's the lowest. So really no surprise. Like, a lot of people remember that Glee would debut 4, 5, 6 songs a week, but a lot of them would be in the 30s or 40s or lower, and it wouldn't be top 10s, just 1 week sales hits. So yeah, not really surprised that 1% of all Glee cast visits were top 10s. The opposite end of the spectrum, what artist with at least 50 Hot 100 hits has had the highest percentage of top 10s? It's the artist with the most top 10s of all time, Madonna. 38 top 10s out of 57 Hot 100 hits at 67%. So two-thirds of all Madonna hits on the Hot 100 have gone to the top 10. That's the highest with anyone over 50 Hot 100 hits. So yeah, sort of, again, not surprising. All those run of top 10s she had in the 80s into the 90s. So really just a consistent for Madonna. Some other people with really high numbers. You might not think this one, Trevor, that Rihanna would be so high, but she's 51%, 31 of her 61 Hot 100 hits have hit the top 10. So you might think she's had some album cuts that have charted, kind of disrupted that, but half, a little bit more than half of all Rihanna hits are top 10s on Hot 100.
It actually doesn't surprise me, just because so many Rihanna features end up being major hits. I mean, she's really the go-to feature artist of the past decade, if you want to hit. And so I think we've seen just her own songs do so well. I mean, not that many album cuts from Rihanna, I would imagine, have charted particularly low. I mean, she's not, I mean, maybe now, like with this new sort of streaming climate with these full albums, things will come on. But I mean, she's had so many albums and so many singles and so many, you know, they've never really allowed her to get super stale. This is really, I mean, there may be some people out there who think this is a surprise. I actually am not nearly as shocked as maybe people would associate Rihanna with the hip hop climate would be.
All right, she's pretty high on this list. The Beatles, 48%, so 34 of their 71 Hot 100 hits hit the top 10, so that's 48%. This one also maybe a little bit higher than people might have expected, because she's had a lot of album cuts chart. 22 of her 77 Hot 100 hits, Taylor Swift, have been top 10s. It's 29%, so 29% of all Taylor Swift Hot 100 hits, top 10s. That just struck me as a little bit high, because you think of her albums come out, bunch of songs chart. But it's a pretty good number in comparison to some of these other acts.
Well, a lot of these album cuts, you know, that do chart. I mean, in particular, maybe around the 2010, 2013 era. I mean, they were album cuts, but they just sold enough. They debuted in the top 10. And all you need is a week, you know?
All right. I think that was a good first question from Jesse Rifkin. Should we press our luck, Trevor, and see if we can get another good one?
dare I say let's go for it?
I have faith.
Hi, Gary. Hi, Trevor. This is Walter coming from Compton. I have a question about the methodology of the Hot 100. So I'm a huge chart fan. I'm a chart watcher. I love to see you guys do the top 10 countdown on Mondays. I'm a little confused about the methodology of the Hot 100. I just want to know the percentage breakdown of sales, streaming, and radio as it relates to the methodology of the Hot 100. I know that it shifts a bit every week, but if you guys could detail percentages and how they fluctuate per week, that'd be great. Thanks a lot for doing this podcast. We really appreciate it out here, all of us chart watchers. So thanks a lot, guys. Keep doing what you do. Peace.
All right. Thanks, Walter. Yeah, another great question. We're two for two. So question is a methodology of the Hot 100, which is, really at the heart of how the Hot 100's put together each week. So, big picture, generally, on average, if you take all 100 songs week to week, probably pretty expected, streaming has easily become the dominant metric on the Hot 100 the last few years, generally followed by airplay. And then by sales. So it's pretty much mostly streaming driven, and then airplay, and then sales in terms of the ratio for all three. Streaming is the one that pretty much powers, on average, songs the most. And to get into the math a little bit, streams, sales, radio airplay, it's all put into a formula. It translates to Hot 100 points. And on average, streaming is becoming the most dominant metric for songs on the Hot 100. We saw with Drake, 100 million streams weekly. He topped that with God's Plan recently. Huge numbers, second highest streaming number ever after Harlem Shake in 2013. But on the opposite end, we keep seeing sales fall. We just went 12 weeks without a song selling more than 100,000 until Ariana Grande, No Tears Left to Cry. So streaming keeps getting bigger. Sales keep falling really drastically. So that's where you see streaming just taking over more real estate on the Hot 100 in terms of point percentage. And airplay tends to be pretty solid in the middle. Pretty much the same amount of radio stations all the time, same amount of audience. So that kind of keeps us steady in the middle. So, that's the case with this week's chart. If you look, Post Malone, we were talking about, and the top three, in fact, all follow that pattern. Nice for What, Psycho, and God's Plan. They're all driven most by streaming, then airplay points are second, and then sales. So top three are like that. Number four, kind of interesting. We see a difference. Meant to Be by BB Rexha and Florida Georgia Line. That's more airplay driven than streaming, with sales again third. Kind of interesting. What we were just saying about country acts, how country tends to be driven mostly by airplay on the Hot 100, doesn't get the huge sales, doesn't get the streaming generally. So with a song like Meant to Be, it's getting country airplay, it's getting pop airplay, that huge audience, number one on radio songs. So streams are there, but it just happens to be, for that song, driven mostly by airplay. I do what it takes, whatever it takes.
Yeah, and we see something like that kind of happening. If you go down and do a song like what's number 21 this week, we'll see it's Imagine Dragons, Whatever It Takes. So kind of in that same vein as country, sort of late to the party on streaming. Hopefully they arrive soon. Rock also kind of in that same boat. I mean, it's not a whole lot of rock songs, maybe any rock song stream particularly well in the past ever.
it's really been Imagine Dragons with their other singles, Believer, Thunder, Portugal the Man did pretty well with Feel It Still. But yeah, rock and country are just nowhere near what hip-hop and pop has been for a while now.
Yeah, it's tough. But a song like Whatever It Takes, obviously, at number 21, so there's points coming from somewhere. And in that line with what country's been doing, Airplay has also been propping the song up. So rock, one of those genres as well that in the absence of streaming still can get good radio play, in particular, like Gary mentioned, Imagine Dragons. Certainly the biggest crossover band of the past year. I mean, their songs Believer Thunder were both top five hits, so they know the top of the charts well. They're able to get up there. A lot of people pegging this song maybe to duplicate some of that as well. Maybe some help on the streaming sales in. Right now, streaming and sales for Whatever It Takes are about equal, so Airplay's doing most of the lifting, but there's a pretty even split behind that in terms of sales and streaming. But like we said, their two previous singles are both top five hits, so they know how to get up there, and I'm sure there's a strategy cooking.
Ha! Bienvenidos a la cripta! Dame tu cosita! Dame tu cosita! Ay! Dame tu cosita! Dame tu cosita! Ay! Dame tu cosita!
So it's all very... We're all talking average for all 100 songs on the Hot 100, but if you look at a song like number 43, El Chumbo, with, how do you pronounce this, Trevor?
Dame tu cosita.
Way better than I would have said. That viral hit, if you've seen that video with the, now we need help on with the video, it's dancing alien frog kind of a look.
I guess a dancing frog.
So the viral hit. So in this case, this song is driven almost entirely by streaming. It has almost no sales, almost no airplay points. So you see certain songs that obviously contribute greater portions of one metric. And we've seen that with songs that are viral hits mostly. Radio isn't caught up to it yet. Sales, it's just more of an obscure song that broke virally. So that's a song that's driven almost 100% by streaming. And then if you go to this song, number 62...
It's pretty cool to be on TV, so all the folks back home can see me, and that I'm living it out, all the things I used to dream about. Yeah, it's pretty great, singing on the stage, proud cause there ain't an empty seat in the place. But girl, ever since I met you, I got a whole new perspective. If I'm gonna be famous for something, I wanna be famous for loving.
Piece of Mason Ramsey's famous brand new song. That's mostly streaming, little bit of sales, almost no airplay, although actually country radio is sampling the song. 11 years old, he's the kid who was discovered yodeling at Walmart. Now he's got a record deal that quickly, 11 years old, and he's on the Hot 100, number 62. Again, this is something that years ago you wouldn't have seen that translate so quickly. You wouldn't have seen someone yodeling in Walmart and then on the Hot 100. Because, say, sales would have been the metric in the past that sort of covered the viral reaction. You'd need time to press cassette singles, CD singles. Now, in a viral era, you get that streaming literally almost overnight. 11-year-old kid, it's on the Hot 100. All right, so you look at all that. Another stat I think is kind of interesting. If you look at the 100 songs on the Hot 100 this week, absolutely zero. No song is driven primarily by sales. 20 are driven mostly by airplay, or airplay being their highest percentage of the three metrics, airplay, sales, and streaming. The other 80 driven mostly by streaming. So that tells you where how streaming is right now, how big it is. 80 songs on the Hot 100 are driven mostly by streaming, 20 driven mostly by airplay, and zero driven by sales. You know, it's been different in different eras. If you go back to the mid-2000s, someone could debut from sales alone, pretty much. No airplay. There wasn't streaming yet then, but you'd see some of those American Idols. They'd win, get a huge sales, debut right at number one on the Hot 100 with really no airplay. And now about a decade later, as the consumption changes, shifts to streaming, it's streaming. It's pretty much what's going to drive you onto the Hot 100. So, it just kind of shows you where the Hot 100 is right now in terms of methodology. Go to billboard.com. We put up a story last week of how streaming that will be adjusted going forward, adding a tier of waiting for a paid subscription streaming that's happening this summer. So, you know, the chart always adapts. If you go, again, as we said, back to the early 2000s, for a while before iTunes, it was mostly airplay driven. If you looked at the radio songs chart, it pretty much doubled as the Hot 100. And then iTunes exploded, and you could go to number one from sales alone. So now we're in the streaming era. You go back to the original days of the Hot 100. Jukeboxes were driving song popularity. So something else will come along going forward, and it's how the Hot 100 adapts. So it's a question that's actually always always has a different answer, depending on when the question's asked. All right. So I think for all the promotion we've done for this hotline, at least it was worth it. We got a couple of good questions this week.
And of course, if you have any more going forward, the hotline is still open. So be sure to drop those in at 212-493-4021. Or as Gary would like me to say, 212-493-4021.
Hey, that sounds like a countdown. 40-1.
Ooh, I got through it somehow. But yeah, so if anyone wants to drop any more questions going forward, we will be checking that hotline consistently, and if we spot a good one, we'll be sure to pluck it out and put you on air.
All right, well, I'll talk to you next week on the podcast again. Thanks for the first 100 episodes. This has been it's always fun for us. We hope you guys love listening to it. It's just a way to go a little bit deeper on some chart topics that we can't always cover this deep in stories. So if we yap for about an hour or so, we can go deeper on some of these topics. So we hope you guys love listening. We love doing it, and we'll keep doing more of them. Episode 101 next week. If you're a Camilizer, Havana is going to be the subject of next week's Chartbeat podcast. We know it's been out for a while now, 38 weeks on the Hot 100, but our friends over at HitSongs Deconstructed just dug really deep into all the different elements that made it such a hit. So obviously, it's so catchy, but a lot of traits to the song that are shared by other songs, a lot of things that are unique about it, but we'll find out really what helped make it a hit. So Dave and Yael from HitSongs Deconstructed next week, talking Havana. We're going to have them on the week after that as well, talking about just overall trends lately on the Hot 100 in the first part of 2018. So we'll keep doing what we do here on the Chartbeat podcast. Yeah, what should we close with? How about a 100-themed song for a 100th episode?
Well, that would be fitting. What is a 100-themed song?
Remember early 80s, 100 Ways.
No, I don't remember the early 80s. I wasn't like, no, I wasn't alive.
I barely remember. I kind of remember. James Ingram, 100 Ways was a hit in the early 80s.
In your arms tonight, she'll reflect that she owes you the sweetest of deaths. If she wants to pay, find 100 ways.
And, all right, you know, this is our chance, Trevor, to get some Mariah here on the podcast. She had a song this decade.
This is our chance. All right, we've been waiting for that one opportunity, and we found it.
100% Mariah for the 100th episode of the Chartbeat podcast.